a moment, Liz is going to be continuing our series on the book of Nehemiah. But I'm going to read to us now. And if you've got a Bible, maybe you want to grab it. I'm going to start in Nehemiah chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 15. And we're going to read through to verse 5 of chapter 7. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Also in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them. For many in Judah were under oath to him, since he was son-in-law to Shechaniah, son of Arah, and his son Jehohanan had married the daughter of Meshullam, son of Berechiah. Moreover, they kept reporting to me his good deeds, and then telling him what I said, and Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. After the wall had been rebuilt and I had set the doors in place, the gatekeepers, the musicians and the Levites were appointed. I put in charge of Jerusalem my brother Hanani, along with Hananiah, the commander of the citadel, because he was a man of integrity and feared God more than most people do. I said to them, "The gates of Jerusalem are not to be opened until the sun is hot, while the gatekeepers are still on duty. Make them shut the doors and bar them. Also appoint residents of Jerusalem as guards, some at their posts and some near their own houses." Now the city was large and spacious, and there were a few people in it, and the houses had not yet been rebuilt. So my God put it into my heart to assemble the nobles, the officials, and the common people for registration by families.
Good morning. My name's Liz, and it's great to be with you to share our teaching this morning. I wonder if you've ever worked really hard at something important to you, and then you complete it. It ends. Perhaps you've planned an important event, a significant party, a wedding, a presentation at work or at school, and you've poured all your creative energy into this project. The day arrives, it all goes brilliantly, and then it's over. Your work is completed. You did a great job, and you're pleased. But maybe there are some other emotions too. Perhaps a sense of sadness that it's all ended, or even a sense of loss. Today, we reach the conclusion of Nehemiah's Build the Wall project. If you're just joining the series, Nehemiah was a Jew who worked as an important servant to the king of Persia. The story takes place around 430 BC, when the Jewish people were beginning to return to Jerusalem after many years in captivity at the hands of the Babylonians. The returning Jews had rebuilt their temple, but Nehemiah heard from his brother that the city had no wall around it. It had nothing to protect it. Now he was troubled by this, and God stirred his heart to return to Jerusalem and lead the rebuilding of the wall. And here, after months of prayer, passion, planning, hard graft and overcoming adversity, we reach an ending. The wall is complete. Surely a moment to savour, to shout about, to celebrate. Well, not so much for Nehemiah, it seems. In fact, he covers this momentous occasion in one simple sentence. In chapter 6, verse 15, it simply says, "So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. That's it. We've had 5 and a bit chapters of this vibrant first-person narrative that's been full of emotion and drama. And then, for what should be the pinnacle of the story, we get one matter-of-fact sentence. Now, I can't tell you how Nehemiah felt about completing the wall, about finishing his passion project that he had invested time and energy and tears, literally tears, into. We don't know the emotions that he experienced as he concluded this time. a time that had seen God moving in remarkable ways, warming the heart of an unbelieving king, for example. A time that had seen members of the Jewish community uniting behind a common purpose, sharing their talents and learning new skills. A time that had seen difficulties and crisis overcome. We don't know whether he was excited or relieved or even felt a sense of loss. We don't know how he felt about this ending, but I would really love to, wouldn't you? Because in terms of the text, it's a bit of an anticlimax, isn't it? So the war was completed. That's it. But perhaps this brevity is simply an acceptance of an ending. The work is done. The dream that God gave to Nehemiah has been realised. It is complete. All of us experience endings in life. Finishing at school or university, for example. Changing from one job to another. Leaving, even deciding to close a ministry at church. Moving home where we leave one place, ending our time there for a new home. Children leaving home. Retirement. Lockdown led to many endings, didn't it? And even as things have opened up again, some businesses, some ministries at church have ended. Perhaps one of those areas resonates with you at the moment. Now, whilst these endings can be really positive, they can also bring a whole mixture of emotions with them. We can feel pride, pleasure in our accomplishments. Maybe we're excited at new possibilities. Perhaps we feel relief. Or maybe a concern for the future. We're unsure about how things will work out. We may feel unsettled at the idea of change. Sadness at what has gone. Even that sense of loss. I wonder how Nehemiah felt as he reached the ending of Project Wall. I hope he was delighted. I am sure he was exhausted. And I suspect he might have felt a bit empty, a bit at a loss. This had been an enormous part of his life for many months, and now it had come to an end. But in the following verses, Nehemiah does two things that provide us with a really good model of how we might deal with the endings that we face in life. Let's have a look at what we can learn from Nehemiah's example. Well, firstly, Nehemiah acknowledged God. He acknowledged that this wonderful accomplishment of rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem, which they did in super quick time, 52 days is quite a remarkable time frame for this work. He acknowledged that that work was not his alone. Indeed, he acknowledged that the only way they were able to complete the wall was with the help of our God. Listen to chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realised that this work had been done with the help of our God. At every step of Project Wall, Nehemiah acknowledged that this was a work of God, that he couldn't have done it alone. Indeed, he was so open about God's hands being on this work that even his enemies and the foreign powers around, they got the message. This had been done with the help of God. Now, this is significant for a couple of reasons. First up, it gives the glory to God where it should rightly be. Secondly, and perhaps more subtly, by acknowledging that it was only through God's gracious help that this feat was accomplished, Nehemiah separates his identity, his sense of self, from his work, from the wall, and he shifts it onto his relationship with God. Nehemiah isn't all about the wall. He's all about God. And whilst I'm sure he felt a healthy sense of accomplishment in what they'd achieved, he maintains a godly sense of perspective. He didn't want people to look at the wall and say, "Isn't Nehemiah great? Didn't he do a fantastic job? This wall is proof of the pure awesomeness of Nehemiah." No, Nehemiah wanted people to look at the wall and say, "Isn't God great? Didn't God do something fantastic here? This wall is proof of the power of God." Nehemiah doesn't tie his identity to this work, to this ministry that he's devoted himself to. He doesn't tie it to this success. His identity is rooted in his relationship with our God. And I love the personal language that he uses there. This work on the wall has sprung from his relationship with our God, and it never eclipses that relationship. So, when he reaches this ending, he isn't lost, wondering, "Who am I now? I don't have the wall." Rather, as we'll see in a moment, he's looking forward to where God's going to lead him next. And I think there's wisdom here for all of us. Because how easily, how imperceptibly can our identity become caught up in what we do? In our work, in our role as a parent, in our ministry or our studies, in our health, in our youth, in our areas of influence and leadership. And then when those things end, which inevitably they will, who are we? I've worked this job for 30 years and now I'm retired. Who am I without that work? I've raised children. It's felt like forever. It's been intense. And now they've left. Who am I now? I've served in this ministry faithfully. It's so much a part of me. And now it's closing. Who am I? I've been a student since I was 5 years old. Now I'm in my 20s and that's behind me. Who am I? But if our identity is firmly rooted in God, whilst we may still mourn those endings that we face, we don't have to lose ourselves as a result of them. Yes, my work, my parenting, my study, my ministry has been a huge part of my life. But ultimately, I'm God's child, and that will never end. Now the question of identity is one we're going to be looking at in more detail at our church weekend. So I'd encourage you to plug into that. If you haven't already, make sure you sign up. And come along to explore your identity in God more. Nehemiah shows us that when we face endings, it's helpful to acknowledge God. To recognise that our identity lies in him and not in the thing that's ended. And he also demonstrates that we can look to the future with hope, knowing that God still has a purpose for us. You see, Nehemiah acknowledged God and he also allowed God to renew his vision. After the wall was completed and at the start of chapter 7, Nehemiah busies himself organising gatekeepers and guards, musicians and leaders for the walled city. He sees that there are things to be done and he cracks on and does them. Nehemiah is definitely a doer. And then in chapter 5, so in verse 5 of chapter 7, we have this lovely sentence. "So my God put it into my heart to assemble the nobles, the officials and the common people for registration by families." I love that phrase. "So my God put it into my heart." We've actually heard it before. It's in chapter 2, verse 12, where Nehemiah is talking about rebuilding the wall. This is before the building's even started. He says, "I've not told anyone what my God put into my heart to do for Jerusalem." God had given Nehemiah a vision to rebuild the wall. Now Nehemiah, seeing that come to an end, was ready and listening for a new vision, for what God wanted him to do next. which turned out to be gathering, registering and organising God's people as they returned to Jerusalem from exile. I love what one commentator said about Nehemiah. He wrote, "He did not rest content when his vision was realised. He recognised that a truly spiritual work must always be progressing, never static." Nehemiah understood that endings come, that things change, that God, though unchanging in character, is God of the new and God of the now. He is not static. Our lives are not static. Our purpose and vision should not be static. Nehemiah could so easily have clung on to the success of the wall. You can imagine the scene, can't you? 20 or so years later, Nehemiah surrounded by his grandchildren holding court. "Did I ever tell you about my wall?" And all the kids would roll their eyes. They've heard it that many times. "He never stops going on about that wall." But I doubt Nehemiah did that. It just doesn't seem like his style. He's not all about the wall. He is all about God. So when Project Wall ends, he's able to move forward with God rather than cling to the past. We all need to learn this, especially when we face endings. We cannot live in the past, however good it was. And when we cling on to those things that have ended, we miss out on all that God has for us today. Which is not to say that we need to detach from the past. We can celebrate it. We can honestly recognise all the emotions that come along with endings. But we mustn't get stuck there. Whatever stage at life you're at, God wants to deepen his relationship with you. However old or young you are, God wants to use your gifts and talents. He wants to work in and through you in your present circumstances. Don't miss out. Ask God to renew your vision for today, to put in your heart who he wants you to be, where he wants you to be, and what he wants you to be doing today. Nehemiah faced a significant ending in this passage as Project Wall came to a close. We can only imagine the mixture of emotions he might have felt at this time. But we do know that he acknowledged God, making sure that he was rooted in God and not in the wall, not in his work, his ministry. We also know that he allowed God to renew his vision. He knew that God still wanted to work in and through him, and he really wanted to be part of that. As we end now, let's ask God to root our identity, our sense of self in him, and to renew our vision for today. We're going to take a few moments just to reflect on any endings we're facing now or have faced and still impact us. Perhaps for you, it's the ending of a career through retirement. Maybe you're ending a phase of parenting as your children begin school or even leave home. Maybe you're ending a time serving in a ministry that has meant an awful lot to you. There may be many endings that we're facing. Perhaps a relationship has ended. Perhaps you feel that your ill health has led to a number of endings in your life. Just take a moment to consider the emotions that those endings have raised in you. And now let's pray together. Our God, root us in you so that when we face endings, we're not shaken, but assured of our identity as your beloved children. Renew our vision for today. Help us release the past excite us for the future. We invite you to work in and through us. Amen.